Well, I was going to come up and do a split, but I was afraid I would never get back up. All right, well, my girl is here this morning with us. Everybody say hello. And she's your girl, or he, whatever the case might be. Welcome this morning. I'm glad everybody showed up. There were a lot of people that are out and about today. But we're going to have a lot of fun this morning. Amen? All right. Well, I'm going to do a little review. Last week, the message, of course, the title of the series, actually, is Temptations, The Temptations, Thus the Temptations. All right? You got that, right? All right. Okay. And for the benefit of those of you who were on a tropical island, either physically or mentally last week while you were here, I'm going to do a quick review, okay? All right, because I know a couple of you were like all suntanned back there in Haiti. Not the Haiti that I know, but the Haiti that, look at you guys, man. And then these two guys here were, where? What was it called?
Turks and Caicos.
Huh. All right. Well, I was on Farm View Drive. All right. So, everybody doing okay this morning? All right. So, by way of review, what we did is we looked at James chapter 1, all right? James chapter 1, and it talks about God cannot be tempted, right? God is not the one who tempts you either, right? Remember that? If you say that God tempts you, it's just like saying that he is just like the tempter, Satan, right? He is just like him. And God is not just like him. He is not. He cannot be tempted, and he does not tempt. He does test. Anybody been tested this week? All right. I've been tested a lot this week, okay? And it's because of this ring here. Anybody bring their ring today? Raise your hand. Show your ring. All right. Good for you. All right. Did you think about what was going on? Did you think about your temptations and stuff? Did it help you do that? Because every time I felt that ring, it was like, ah, that's that temptation again. And that's what her name is, or his name is. There's a lot, it's temptation, but there's a lot of stuff on there that maybe fits your temptation, right? But anyway, So we looked at that, and we talked about, we went all the way back to Genesis, and we said, hey, look, here's all this stuff, all this good stuff that Adam and Eve had, right? I mean, they had everything. They had the BMWs and the Mercedes. They had all the food, the steaks, and everything that they could possibly want. God said, hey, look, dudes, don't touch this tree. That's the only thing. You can have everything else. You can do what all you want to do. Just don't touch this tree. Well, you know what it's like. When somebody tells you not to do something that you can't have it, what do? Yeah. Okay. Nobody's looking. Right? Same thing with Lucas. Lucas had the whole yard, all the toys, playing with everything. I mean, he could have everything. And I said, look, this is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Luke. Stay away from it. And he goes on there anyway, and he breaks a branch off, right? Remember that? Okay. So anyway, he did that. And last week's message was called Breaking Up is Hard to Do, right? And it is hard to do, right? Because what we do is we love those relationships that aren't necessarily good for us. Everybody's been in those relationships or know somebody that was in a relationship like that, right? Somebody that, hey, you know what? You ought to get out of that, you know, a friend of theirs. You know, you ought to get out of that relationship because, you know, it's very abusive, either verbally or physically abusive relationship that you have going on there, and you need to get out of it. Oh, but I love him. It's my girl, right? It's like the month of May. All right, just like the temptations. And so we end up we end up in that relationship, and that relationship could be a real relationship with a guy or a girl, okay? Could be a relationship like that, but then it also could be a relationship with gossip, bitterness, pride, anger, self-pity, lying, cheating, pornography, or food. Could be any of those, and it could be more, but we just didn't have enough room on the lady here to put them all down. So, and I really do, I hope, you know, I went a couple of places and I said, hey, you have your ring on today? You know, a couple of people, and they said, yeah, I have my ring on. You know, and I hope you really spurred some things about, you know, what am I being really tempted? And I'll tell you what, I did a lot of soul searching this past week, and I didn't ask you to break up, right? And I'm not going to ask you to break up today either, all right? I'm not going to ask you to break up. But I am going to ask you to consider something else, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But what I want to do is I want to relay a story to you. And it's in the Bible, and it's in Exodus chapter 8. And this is a true story. It's the Exodus. But I want to build it up for you first, because we're much like this. All right, so here we have the Israelites who are in Egypt, okay, in bondage. They weren't originally in bondage when Joseph was there. Actually, they saved the Israelites. But then after a while, the king had died, the Pharaoh had died, and didn't know Joseph or any of his people, and they put them in bondage. So for 400 years, the Israelites were slaves to the Egyptians. They did basically all the work. They did all the work there was to do in Egypt. They built the big pyramids, they built the big luxury hotels, they built everything, okay? Everything. And so they had taskmasters after them and everything, and anyway, so there's this guy named Moses. Moses was brought up as an Egyptian, but he was actually a Hebrew boy. So he came up, and then he left, and there were a couple other things. I want you to read the story later on, but he left, and he talked to God. And God said, you know what? You need to go back and free my people. And he says, how am I going to do that? He says, well, I'll give you the words. I'll give you what to say, and I'll give you this staff and all this stuff, okay? So he goes back, and he says, Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh, of course, is going to say, you have to be joking, all right, Moses. Can't even talk, stutterer. And you know, and then he throws this thing down. See, the problem with Pharaoh is Pharaoh, no matter how many, beginning in chapter 7, I believe, of Exodus, it talks about him going through some trials there. Every time Moses would come and say, let my people go, he'd say, no. And then when Moses would go away, he would bring some kind of plague upon him. He would bring the plague of all the water turned to blood. And then all the frogs and all the gnats and all the stuff, okay? He had all this stuff coming on to him. But you know what? Pharaoh was kind of like us. He wanted to hang on to that. And it says that God had hardened his heart, but really, was it God who hardened his heart? Yes, it was. But he couldn't harden his heart if he didn't have some lust for that and not let that go. Every single time Moses went and gave a plague, and then he kind of repented and said, okay, I give, take it away. And then he said, nah, just kidding. And then he'd have to bring another plague on. But we're like that too. And that's why I want to talk about this a little bit today, because we're like that. We don't want to, we want, because of James chapter 1, since God doesn't tempt us, what does it say? It says are tempted from our own desires and our own lusts, right? That's where it comes from. And that's the same thing with Pharaoh. Pharaoh has all these lusts. He doesn't want to let his people go. You know, if he lets those people go, then who's going to do all the work and everything else? So we find ourselves in chapter 8 of Exodus. And I want to read a few verses here down through probably chapter 9 or verse 9 or whatever. So let's start reading. Now this is the, now let me just give you a little something too, and a little insight. When I talk about, when the Bible talks about types and models, okay, or pictures of, what they're talking about is like Pharaoh. Pharaoh is a type of Antichrist, okay? He is not the Antichrist, he's a type of. Joseph is a type of Christ. He is not Christ, but a type of. All types fall short of being the real thing, okay? Just so you know, all right? So frogs, when we're going to talk about frogs, frogs are a type of demon or sin, okay? So you got that. Frogs are a type of. They're not the real thing, but when they talk about them, they talk about them in that context. Okay, so let's go. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if they thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. Now remember what the frogs mean. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into the house, thine house, and into thy bedchambers, and upon thy beds, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up, both of thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched forth out of his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. So, here's what we have. Frogs are everywhere. Frogs are absolutely everywhere. In the bed, can you imagine those stinky little slimy things everywhere? Okay? They're in their beds. They're in their house. You couldn't walk anywhere without squashing a frog. They were in where they make their food, in the kitchens, in their ovens. They were absolutely everywhere. So you got that picture, right? It's a mental picture in your head, and it's like, whoa, dude, that's a lot of frogs. I went frog gigging one time. I didn't know it was called frog gigging. But anyway, we went up and we got frogs, and people actually ate the frog legs that we got. Whew. Anyway, another story for another day. All right, so you can imagine all that. Now, I want you to refer back to our text here, verse 9. And it says, and Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee? Verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. So he's going, help me, I got frog infestation. There's lots of frogs, and they're all in my house. Moses, do something. Get them out of here. Go to God. Pray to him, entreat him, say, God, take these away. So Moses says unto Pharaoh, glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy house, and that they may remain in the river only? So he says, okay, you want me to, Pharaoh, this is Moses, okay? You want me to go ahead and get rid of these frogs, right? Pharaoh says, absolutely, man, this is a mess in this place. And Moses says, well, when would you like me to do that? All right? Verse 10. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frog shall depart from thee and from thy house and from thy servants and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from the from Pharaoh. And Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the village, and out of the fields, and they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. That was a stinking land, right? Can you imagine all those frogs? Now, the thing of it is, why did he say tomorrow? If you have a frog infestation, just kind of get a poll here real quick. Would you want to wait until tomorrow, till the exterminator? You got the exterminator on the phone, okay? Called him up and said, hey, can you come over and help me get these frogs out of my house? Because they're everywhere. Well, when would you like me to come over? Well, tomorrow. Does that make sense to anybody? Huh? Who would want them to come tomorrow? Anybody show hands? Oh, Jerry and you guys. All right, because you want to play with the frogs. And Jim, too, no doubt. All right. Guys, we're like that. We are the exact same way. We will take that sin. He just wanted one more night with his sin. One more night with those frogs. Just give me one more night with that, okay? Last week, we gave you one more night with temptation. We said, go ahead. We don't want you to take it away right now, but we want you to wear this ring, and we want you to go out, and we want you to think about this sin for one more night, this temptation for one more night. You see? But see, what happens is like in Romans chapter 1, God will give you over to a reprobate mind. He will give you over to your desires, your lusts. If you continue in this, he's going to just say, all right, I've tried. I'm not going to, you go ahead. You go ahead. There she is. There he is. There it is. Take it. One more night with the girly here. He's not going to, go ahead. If that's what you want. One more night with the frogs. So here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to ask you to break up today. Okay? I'm going to give you one more night with the frogs. But I want you to give the relationship a break. Don't break up. Give it a break. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. What I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to come up. Not right now, when I tell you. And I want you to, there's a little offering plate right here. And I want you to give your relationship with whatever it is a break. You don't have to quit. If next Sunday, just for 7 days, a break. Many of you have done that, right? I mean, you've been dating a girl or a guy, and I've done it. I've done it a lot of times. And I'd go to him and say, hey, look. It's just not working. Let's give this a break for a little while. And maybe things will be better. Maybe we'll see things more clearly later on. Whatever. Just give it a break. If next Sunday you come back and you say, I can't do it. I want to make up with them again. Then the rings will be waiting here for you. You can come and you can take your ring back and you can put it back on here on your ring finger again. And then that's all that'll be necessary. Okay? So what I want to do is I want to have Pastor Ron come up because we're going to play some music. And I want you to stand. Everybody stand. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This is really important. Pastor Ron just put his ring in. He's going to give his temptation a break for a week. Now remember, we've got two more weeks. And what we're going to do in these next 2 weeks is we're going to give you some remedies, but right now the first step to your temptation and to whatever's going on, the relationship that you have with our temptation here, our little buddy, whatever relationship you have, you want to give it a break, throw the ring in here. Okay? You can come and pray at the altar. You can say, God, help me with this. You can come in and say, God, you know, maybe you weren't here last week and you don't have a ring. But that doesn't mean that you can't come up and you can't pray and say, God, help me take a break from this, okay? All right. So whenever you're ready, you come. You come and put your ring in here and tell this guy here, temptation, say, hey, you know what? We're giving it a break today. We're giving it a break for a few weeks, for a week. Just going to give you a break. Won't you come?
A thousand times I fail, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. You will above all else. My purpose remains the art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Console me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out.
Heavenly Father, just come to you, and we do want you to change us from the inside out. We do want you to change our desires towards you. We want those temptations that we have offered up today before you to take a break, Lord. We want you to make us see that you do give us a way, that we don't have to give in to our temptations, that we don't have to give in to our desires, no matter what they are, no matter what the relationship is that we have, Father, because we're going to look towards you for help this week. God, I know that it's going to be here if I come back next week and decide to pick it back up, but I'm going to pray right now for you to just take it from me, take that desire out of my heart, and fill it with you, Father. Fill me up. Fill me up, Lord. When I empty out, I need filled back up, but I need filled back up with something good. And I know that something good is you. Lord, I love you so much. This family of God loves you and desires that you help them through this week. And until we come back next week, God, may you be with them and show them your presence every time that temptation comes about. It's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
This time we're going to take up an offering. We do this every week on Sunday morning and Saturday night. We take up an offering, and it's an opportunity for those of us who are a part of the CBC family to flex our giving muscle and to worship God with our stuff. So if you are a member of our church and you worship here, this is your place. Then we invite you at this time to go ahead and get your checkbook or your wallet or whatever you got, your envelope. You got to write that out. Go ahead. You can start working on that right now. If you're not a member here, understand that we give because we love God, because God gave his son for us. And so you don't feel obligated or anything. This is just part of how we worship God here at Calvary. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you would bless this offering, that you would receive it from our hearts, that you'd be lifted up and that you'd be glorified as we trust you in saying, I trust that you will provide on 90%. I trust that you will provide on 70% or whatever percentage, Lord, that we're keeping, God. We trust that you will provide. God, I pray that you would bless this offering as we use it to do ministry to those who are broken in our community and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are visiting with us today, I forgot one more thing. There's a card in the pew in front of you, and it's about this big. If you could fill that out with your information, then that would help us to be able to give you a phone call, maybe send you some information, invite you to one of our New Beginnings classes or our Starting Point classes, and let you know more information about our church. If you put your email in there, we can get you our newsletter and all kind of cool stuff like that so you can be connected here. Let's all stand together. We need to sing happy birthday to PJ, to Pastor Joe. Okay, we want to take every opportunity we can because we don't know how many more he has left. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pastor Joe. Happy birthday to you. Amen, amen. We love our Pastor Joe. Let's close with a verse and chorus of Happy Day.
Rescued me, sing it out, Jesus is alive. In the joy and perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. Wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed.
Amen. Have a great weekend. Take that with you.
temptation or whatever.